Go to John 8. If you don't have a Bible, grab one underneath your chair there or underneath the chair in front of you. And the church Bible page number is 1108. We always put that at the top of the handout so you can find your way to our text. Page 1108 will take you to John chapter number 8. And so in John chapter number 8, this is an incredible text. You know, Satan is the author of bondage. You know, for that woman, it was alcohol, but that's just one issue in life, man. There are tons of issues that we can be in bondage to. Maybe for you, it's not alcohol. Maybe it's some kind of substance like, you know, a drug or something. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's fear, anxiety. There's all kinds of different issues that we all have. And we all have issues, you know, that we're dealing with. None of us are perfect. We all have issues. And the good news, though, is that every person can be set free from bondage. Now, listen, that ain't a bunch of junk I'm telling you. I'm telling you flat out that that woman's story is not unique. I'm telling you, tons and tons of people have found freedom in Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches it is possible for you, friend. Listen, it is possible. John 8:36, look at it in that chapter. John 8:36. It's Jesus said, if the Son, that's Jesus, if he therefore shall make you free, if Jesus makes you free, you shall be what?
Free
indeed. Absolutely. And so how can we be set free? Well, we began to look at that last week. And I'm going to summarize in about 60 seconds, you know, what took me 30 last week, all right? You say, then why didn't you do it in 60 seconds last week? But the first step in overcoming bondage is that you have to have eyes to really see your true condition. I'll be honest with you. The people that Jesus is going to talk to in this chapter were very religious, but they were very stubborn, very hard-headed, and very prideful. And the people that he talks to in this chapter, most of them left Jesus the same way they came to Jesus. They were bound before they came, and they were bound when they left. And the reason why wasn't Jesus' fault. He offered to set them free. But their attitude was, we're not bound. We don't have any issues. We don't have any problems. What are you talking about? You have to confront the truth. You have to deal with the truth. You got to quit lying to yourself. There comes a point where you've either got to face up to the truth or you got to choose to run from it. Now, our church, I think, creates an environment that isn't this pseudo type of Christianity where we try to, everyone kind of looks and smells like a Christian, you know, and we all kind of got the Christian glaze and we all come and play church and then leave. You know, I think our church creates an environment by virtue of our small groups, by virtue of our Freedom Found ministry on Monday night and Grief Share on Monday night and all the different ministries we have, we understand and realize we've all got problems and issues. We all need some help. And so we want you to be able to be honest about that. But only you can get honest. I can't get honest for you. There comes a point where we either got to face the truth or we got to flee from it. But there will be no lasting change without facing the truth squarely. I will guarantee you, I don't care what church it is. I don't care how Christian it looks and how good everybody looks at church and how big of Bibles they carry to church. Every single church that has any amount of people in it at all, there are people that are dealing with addictions, with problems, with sin issues. Do you all believe that? Say amen. There are no churches where just everybody's, you know, 24/7 going around, holy, 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 you know, and they all got halos over their heads. You know, they want you to think that, but they don't. And so we got to learn to face the truth squarely. All right, we got to face it. That's the first thing. But that in and of itself isn't going to set you free. Okay, that you, yes, praise the Lord. She finally said, I got an alcohol issue. She could not be helped until she finally got challenged by a friend and realized this isn't normal. I got a problem. When the light bulb goes on, that's the first step. But that's not it. Okay, that in and of itself isn't going to help you. The second thing in your handout is this. Number two is that you must believe that Christ can set you free. There is a faith issue that here that is very, very important and crucial. Very crucial. Life is all about who we choose to follow. Let me say that again. Life is all about who we choose to follow. Jesus Christ in this chapter said that his followers, his disciples, are going to have three primary characteristics. It's in your handout. Number one, Christ said his followers will walk in light. Look down at verse number 12 after you write that in. Verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that, what's the next word, church? Come on, talk to me. He that what? Yeah, see, you're looking at it. You see it. He that followeth me, Jesus said, shall not walk in what, church? Darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, Christ said his followers are going to see things as they really are. When you are following Jesus Christ, you're not in some dream world. You're not in some fantasy world. You're not walking in darkness. You see yourself as you really are, and you see life as it really is. You see circumstances as they really are, not as you think they are. On the other hand, if you choose to follow Satan, the Bible says that you are going to walk in what? You're going to walk in darkness, right? This is one of those things you put on at night if you want it to be dark. Some of you, anybody in here work nights? You know, you put that on, it kind of blacks everything out. Satan wants to put the blinders on you. And it's like this picture right here. I don't know if you can see this or not, but let's go ahead and bring it up, the picture. And that's the man, and go ahead and expand it now. That's the guy on that cliff. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a man on that cliff right there. How would you like to be on that cliff right there? Anybody? Any takers for that? You know what? You can literally, I'm telling you, when you follow Satan, you are walking and the blinders are on and you are walking and you can be headed straight for a cliff and not even know it. And Satan will be glad to take you right off the cliff. He'll be more than happy to bring a final event that's going to bring destruction and that's going to destroy your life. He'll be glad to do that. But you don't even know it's coming. You don't even see it coming. Why? Because you're in darkness. Christ said his followers walk in light. Number two, Christ said his followers will walk in freedom. His followers will walk in freedom. Look at verse 36 again. We've said this several times, but let's look at it again. Verse number 36, what does that say? It says that if the Son therefore shall what? Make you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. So Satan, what he wants to do is just the opposite. He doesn't want you to be free. Oh, he tries to tell you you're free. Oh, yeah, man, you're your own man. You're doing your own thing. Meanwhile, he's got you chained. You're chained. You can't get loose. You see, you're walking in bondage. You are chained to your past. You're chained to the same old destructive habits. You're chained to the same behavioral patterns that has led to nothing but problems all your life. And yet you stay chained to it. Why? That's what Satan does. Satan specializes in bondage. He snares you. See? And that's what he does. He puts the blinders on you. He chains you. Christ said, no, you follow me, you're going to have light. Christ said, you follow me, man, you're going to have freedom. Speaking of freedom, where's my wife? She's got the key to this. I don't have the key. I'm just kidding. I can get this. I had y'all worried, didn't I? Number three, Christ said his followers will walk in truth. He said his followers will walk in truth. Look down at verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, my followers indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you choose to follow Satan, I'm going to be honest with you, you're going to walk in lies. You are going to follow a bunch of lies. Why? Look at verse 44. That's why. Verse 44. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. It says, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you follow Satan, what do? You lie to yourself, you lie to people. Life becomes a charade. You know, you're just worried about not getting caught. Why? There's no integrity. There's no wholeness in your life. Look, this isn't complicated at all. Jesus, what he's saying here, it's not complicated. There are basically two paths to follow, okay? You got a path over here. Say this aisle represents Satan's path. And Satan, his path is one of darkness, bondage, and lies. You go down that path, that's what you get. You're going to get darkness, you're going to get bondage, and you're going to end up just living a bunch of lies. Christ said, though, you walk and follow me, and he said, you're going to walk in light, you're going to walk in freedom, and you're going to walk in truth. Truth. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's the deal, church. Never forget this statement that I'm about to make. This is a key statement, and it's not in your handout, but it's a key. What path you follow determines your destination. The path you follow determines your destination. Look at verse number 24. I said therefore unto you, Jesus said, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey guys, you want to keep following Satan's path? Guess where that leads you? You're going to ultimately die in your sins. The path you follow determines your destination. I'll give you an illustration. Pastor Rich has family in Italy. So if he gets on a cruise ship and he heads to Italy, and let's say Pastor, and he goes to Italy, him and Miss Kathy. Let's say Rob and Colleen, they head to North Carolina, to the mountains, because they're going to have a family reunion with her family up there, which they do often. You know, once a year, they'll have a reunion up there. So Pastor Rich gets on a boat, heads for Italy. Pastor Rob heads for North Carolina. If I follow Rich, where am I going to end up? Italy. If I follow Rob, where am I going to end up? North Carolina. Who you choose to follow determines your destination. Who you choose to follow determines your destination. It's really simple. If you want to be set free from Satan's bondage, you got to quit following him. And your faith must be in Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus has already wrought the victory by conquering death. What is the greatest form of bondage that you can think of? What would be the greatest form of bondage? You know, somebody may say, well, alcohol or drugs, probably based on whatever we struggle with. Maybe it's fear, depression, anxiety. Maybe it's, lust. What's the greatest form of bondage? To me, the greatest form of bondage is death, because there's no getting out of it. Amen. Once you get there, you're done. Hey, as long as you got a pulse, you can get out of the bondage you're in. But man, once you're dead, you're dead, man. There is no getting out of that. But you know what? We cannot get out of it, but aren't you glad Christ did? Amen. He overcame death. He's the ultimate bondage breaker. Jesus made it clear that his victory can be our victory if we place our faith and if we put our trust in him. He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. Look in your handout there. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Look what that verse says. It says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, he already beat death. He can help you with whatever your bondage is. He already beat death, man. He already overcame death. So anything you got to deal with, he can handle it. Turn your handout over and look at 1 John 5:4-5. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen, once you put your faith in Christ, by the way, some of you, that's where you need to start. Some of you need to do what I did. I finally reached a point where I was ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Man, I wanted the bondage breaker to live inside of me. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, once you choose to become a Christian, and you say, I want to believe on Jesus, I want to be a Christian, and I want to belong to him. Once that happens, then no longer are you a slave to sin. You have the bondage breaker now living inside of you. You are in Christ, the Bible says, once you're saved. And sin's power has been broken. And what happens is, imagine this is Satan's family. You positionally change. When you get saved, you go from being in Satan's family. Remember he said you're of your father, the devil? You go from being in Satan's family to now God is your father. Positionally, no longer am I in Satan's family. I am in God's family. I am in Christ. Satan has no right of ownership over me. He's got no right of authority over me. I am now God's. I belong to Jesus. Man, I am property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is no longer your master, but now you belong to Jesus. That's what happens when you get saved, man. You positionally change families. Satan is a defeated foe. Look at this verse up here on the screen. You know, Christ sent Paul out with the message, and he said the good news of Christ is going to open people's eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And notice this next phrase. Jesus can turn you from the power of Satan unto God and give you forgiveness of sins and an inheritance in heaven. He completely changes your whole position. Your whole identity is changed when you get saved. Colossians 1:13, look at the screen behind me here. Notice it says that God has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Satan is a defeated foe. But he is committed to keeping you from realizing that. He's looking to gain any foothold that he can. He is looking to gain any advantage he can in your life, Christian. I'm talking to Christians right now. Paul wrote to Christians, and he talked in 2 Corinthians 2:11 about Satan getting an advantage on them. He said, look at this verse, Ephesians 4:27. He said, neither give place to the devil. That word place means to give him room, to give him space. That's written to Christians. As Christians, we can give space. We can give room to the devil to work. He's looking to get an advantage in your life. He can't take your salvation, but he wants to destroy your life. If he can convince you that you're just a product of your past, if he can convince you that you're just subject to sin, you're controlled by your habits, then he can block your effectiveness as a Christian, and he can keep you chained. He can keep you bound to your sin. If he can convince you of something that is not reality, then he has achieved his purpose. It's like this. You know, I had this on earlier, and I was teasing about the key, you know. And if Satan comes and convinces me, you can't get loose from that pulpit. You are chained there, and Satan says, I got the key. There is no way out. If he can convince me of that, then he can keep me bound here. But it's not reality. The reality is there's a little button right here that's supposed to work. And that's the reality, is I'm not really bound. But if he can convince me I'm bound, it's as good as me being bound. And so Satan wants to convince you that, even though it's not true. How many of you have ever had somebody lie to you and convince you of something that's not true? You ever had that happen? Anybody in here ever been deceived? You know, somebody's just bold-faced lie to you, and they convince you it's true. The whole thing's a lie, but they convince you that it's true. That is exactly how Satan works. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say a little tiny dog, a little chihuahua, comes running at you, and he comes, and you got two friends with you, all right? And so this little chihuahua comes running at you, you and your two friends, and I'm and he comes at you. And your two friends, they stand their ground and look at that dog and face him down. You turn and run. Guess who the dog chases after? Yeah, chases after you. And man, I mean, you're scared to death, and you climb up on the hood of a truck, you know, and you're looking down at that yapping dog, and that dog's just, wah, 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 and you're up on the truck. Now look, in reality, that little dog has no power over you except what you give it. That dog has absolutely no power to throw you up on that truck. It was your belief that put you up on the truck. It was your belief. Satan's like a yapping dog. He deceives people into fearing him more than God. His power is in the lie. And he gets you on top of the truck, so to speak. He keeps you bound by your sin, convincing you you have to do it. No, you don't have to do it. He has no power over you except what you give him. So what do? You stand on John 8:36 and you believe it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And you stand on that and you believe it. And when you're confronted with issues of bondage, when you're dealing with issues in our lives that cause bondage, listen, it could be, when we talk about bondage, it could be things in your life, just habits in your life that just cause all kind of relational problems in your life. Just because of obnoxious things, you know, in your life, and it just causes all kinds of relationship problems in your life. And it creates bondage. It could be a habit, could be an addiction of some sort, but it could be a host of things. When those things come in your life, you basically have one of three choices. You either respond with pride, and you get puffed up, and you won't even admit you have a problem, or you respond with fear. Well, what happens if I admit this? What am I going to lose? Or you respond with faith. And you say, you know what? I'm going to forget my way, and I'm going to surrender unconditionally to God in his way. I'm going to be sold out to his plan. I'm going to be sold out to his expectations. Lord, you know better. And in your handout, Hebrews 11:6. Do y'all know what that blank is? Look at that real quick in your handout. What's the blank there? Hebrews 11:6 says that without what? There you go. Write that in. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Your faith is in something. Trust me. You say, well, I'm not going to believe in Jesus. I'm not one of them Christian kooks. Well, guess what? You're following Satan. So you trust him. Say, no, I'm not following him. Jesus said, yeah, you are. If you're not following Jesus, you're following Satan's plan. You're following one or the other. So you're not doing your own thing as much as you think you are. You know, when you're doing your own thing, you're just, Satan's laughing. Because he's got you on the string leading you down there, down off the cliff, you know. And so you are following someone by faith. If you're following Satan, man, then you by faith are believing he's going to lead you, you know, in the things that you really want in your life. If you're following Christ, then your faith's in him. Let me ask you something. We talk about this thing of faith. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Do you really believe that you can change through Christ? I hope so. Do you really believe? Hey, do you believe in Christ enough to pray every day and seek his help? Do you really believe that Jesus' words are truth? And do you really believe that if you believe Jesus Christ's words, do you believe they can set you free, church? I hope you do. Because that brings me to my third point. I want you to write this in. Number three, if you want to be set free from bondage, you have to realize your true condition. We said number two, you have to have faith that Christ can set you free. But number three, you must receive Christ's word. You've got to receive his word. Listen, the next 5 minutes, and I'm almost done. This is my last point, but the next 5 minutes are really important. So I really want you guys to listen, because this is really crucial, what I'm about to share with you. If you get the first 2 points, you're like, yep, I got an issue. I got a problem. And you're like, yep, I believe Jesus can set me free. That's great, but there's a third piece of the puzzle here that you really got to get. This is a key to overcoming bondage. And here it is, receiving Christ's word. Jesus' words are truth, but these people, and they were religious people, but these people would not believe his words. Look at verse 37. I'll show it to you. Look at verse 37. He said, I know that you are Abraham's seed. I know that. But you seek to kill me, Jesus said. Why would they want to kill Christ? Here it is. You ready? Because my word has no what? Has no place in you. That's a problem. In your handout, it says, the truth cannot set you free
if you don't know the truth or if you do not accept the truth. All right, listen, let me give you an example. Let's say you're sitting in the state pen, all right? And you're in the state penitentiary and the governor has signed a pardon which would set you free. The problem is you don't know it. And nobody ever tells you. He signs the pardon and gets lost in the shuffle or whatever, and you never do know that he signed the pardon. Does it do you any good, yes or no? None. Let's say he signs the pardon and they bring it to you. And you look at that pardon and you grab it and you say, nah, I don't believe that the governor signed that. That's forged. And you rip it up. Throw it down. You say, that's a bunch of garbage. I don't believe that. And you're like, you sit down in the jail and you're like, I'm staying right here and nobody's moving me. You get the illustration? If you don't know the truth, or if you don't accept it, it's not going to do you any good. Now, let me get kind of blunt for a minute. I hope you'll allow me that privilege just to be really straightforward with you. We cannot fill our minds with the world's, and when I say world, Satan's world system is in place on this earth. He's called the prince of this world. We cannot fill our minds with Satan's world system. And I understand we live in it every day. I get that. We have to live here on earth, and Satan's world system is here, and there's evil everywhere. And I understand that we have to live and exist in it. But you know what? We don't have to soak our minds in it every day. There's a difference between living in it and soaking our minds in it every day. And it's like a sheep. A sheep may be on a farm. There may be sheep on a farm, and there's just mud holes everywhere on the farm. The sheep can't do anything about that. They're on a farm with mud holes. But the sheep are not going to go and soak in the mud hole and wallow in it like a pig would. Now, a pig will go do that. But you know what? You're not likened to a pig in the Bible. We are likened to sheep, aren't we? We're not pigs. And you know what? We may live on an earth with mud holes everywhere, but we don't have to soak in it. And when you soak your mind with Satan's world's systems, values, philosophies, practices, priorities, and then we basically neglect Christ's word, we're not going to magically break the bondage of sin and addictions and bad habits. Jesus' words run in direct contradiction to Satan's world system that we live in here. Look at verse number 23. Look at verse 23. And Jesus said unto them, ye are from beneath. You're from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am what? Not of this world. Your actions and your attitudes are directly related. Listen, your actions and attitudes are directly related to whatever you're filling your mind with. Let me put it this way. All right, the end result is our conduct, right? Why do we act the way we do? Good question. Why do we do the things we do? Conduct is determined by character. Your conduct's going to be determined by your character. Your character is going to be determined by what you believe to be true. That's going to shape you into the person you are. So if I soak my mind with the world's philosophies and the world's ideas and the world's way of looking at things, guess what? That I'm filling my mind with from the world, that shapes my character, which in turn is going to shape my conduct. If I'm soaking my mind in God's truth, the Bible, then that's going to shape and mold my character. If I believe that to be true, that's going to shape my character, which is going to determine my conduct. A recurring theme in this conversation here that Jesus has with these people, a recurring theme is the importance of knowing and believing Christ's words. Look down at verse number 32. We read that earlier. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at verse number 43. Jesus said, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. In your handout it says, remember this, freedom from spiritual bondage is not a power encounter, it is a truth encounter. That's why you have to immerse yourself in God's word, the Bible. You see, Satan's a deceiver. He's a liar. But the truth of God's word exposes him. His power is in the lie. He's got to get you to believe lies. But truth is a liberating agent. God's power is in the truth, but not if you don't know it. That's why Christians, you know, you'll see all over the place, all over our, you know, logo and all that. It says Crossroads, learning the Bible, living the Bible. And the reason why we put such an emphasis on learning the Bible is because the truth can't set you free if you don't know it. You got to learn truth. Nobody knew 2 + 2 = 4 until you learned it. You got to learn truth. And it's the same way with God's truth. The truth can set you free, but you got to learn it. You got to apply yourself to learn it. It's too risky to be biblically ignorant, biblically illiterate. You have to learn the Bible. That's what I would encourage you, you know, is you got to be faithful to church. Man, you need to be faithful every week, and you need to be under the sound of the preaching of the Bible. You need to be in a small group where you can study the Bible in a small group setting and ask questions. You know, you could do something really, really radical and come back on Sunday night. Amen? I mean, you know, and listen to the message tonight, which is going to tie in with this message. At 6 p.m., you could get in a Bible Institute class. That's even more radical, right? Get in a Bible Institute class. What? You're kidding me. A Bible Institute class? Yeah. They're awesome. You're going to learn so much about the Bible. We got 4 classes coming up in the fall that you can get involved in and that you can learn. You got to learn the Bible. Some of you are like, well, I don't like to read the Bible. I just don't like to read. Well, then, you know what? Most of you probably have 10, 15, 20-minute commute to work. You know, get an app on your phone and listen to it. At least listen to the Bible on your way to work. Listen to it on the way home. You know, man, just start, you know, somewhere, maybe the book of Matthew or Mark, and just start working your way through listening to it then and make good use of that time. But you got to get the Bible in you. That's your ammo. You got no power without knowing God. If you don't know God's word, your gun's empty. You got no power. The power's in the truth. You overcome a liar. How do you overcome a liar? The truth. The truth's what over... The only way to overcome a liar is the truth. Satan's a deceiver, and the truth of God's word exposes him. His power's in the lie, see? You have to place your faith and stand on the written word of God. Listen, you don't outshout Satan. You know, you yell and scream at Satan. That doesn't do anything. He laughs. You know, get out of here, Satan! He just goes, she's crazy, you know. You're not going to outshout Satan. You're not going to outmuscle him. He's the most powerful being besides God, created being. You're not going to outmuscle him. You're not going to outshout him. So what do? You out-truth him. Did you all hear that? You out-truth him. You believe. It's in your handout. You believe, declare, and act on the truth of God's word. Isn't that what Christ did in the wilderness? You know, Satan came to Jesus Christ and tried to bring him into bondage. You know what Christ did? Every single time Satan came and tried to bring Christ into bondage to sin, every single time Christ said, it is written. And then he'd quote the Bible to Satan. And it exposed the lie, and that was that. Satan would have to try a different temptation because the truth exposed that one. Every time he said, it is written. It is written. Jesus Christ believed, declared, and acted on the truth of God's word. Breaking the bondage of sin requires hearing and doing what Christ says day by day, moment by moment. The truth sets you free. You got to get in the Bible. You got to, turn the remote control off. Okay? Just for a few minutes. All right? Put the magazine down. Get away from the computer. This is radical. Put your phone down and get your Bible and open it and read it. It'll change your life. It'll set you free. If Satan has you in bondage in any way, you don't have to stay there. You can be set free. Jesus said so. Do y'all believe him? Amen? You got to be honest. Hey, you got to see things as they really are. If you're like these people in this text, well, we don't have any issues. We're not bound to any man. If you don't think you have a problem, that's a problem. You got to admit your true condition. Then you got to have faith in Jesus that he can set you free. Your faith has to be in him. Remember the two roads you follow? You got to say, no, I'm going this way. I'm going the Jesus road. I just believe he's a lot more trustworthy than Satan. I'm gonna go Jesus' way. But then you have to immerse yourself into his word. Let it fill your mind. Soak your mind in this. Get your head out from soaking in the world and soak it in this. And watch what it does in your life. Just watch what it does. In your handout, it says that Satan does not want you to know that you can be set free. But if the Son makes you free, you are what? Free indeed. Amen. Hey, if you're not saved today, why don't you make a decision for Jesus today? Why don't you decide you want to become a Christian? Why don't you decide that you would want to become a believer in Jesus Christ? And I would encourage you right now, let's all just bow our heads and close our eyes.